The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. You shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you, and let you hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in
him. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. The epistle reading, which serves as the text for our sermon this evening, comes from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 4th chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax,
eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanksgiving is a day of joy and celebration. It's a day to gather together with friends and family and enjoy a wonderful feast. It's a day of rest and gladness where we take a break from the stress of the world and just relax and enjoy one another's company. It's a day where we pause, look back over the year, and give thanks to God for all the wonderful ways He has blessed us. At least, it usually is. But this is 2020. This is the year that doesn't quit. The year that throws more monkey wrenches at our plans than a disgruntled dodgeball coach. 2020 totally disrupted Holy Week and Easter. It ruined our family reunions and has just blown up all of our plans all year long. We had hoped things would be back to normal by now, but no. Dumb old COVID with its dumb old pandemic and its dumb old face is still hanging around, still messing up everything. And so even though we thought we would be done with all of this by now, it's a COVID kind of Thanksgiving this year. Families are staying apart. Grandparents are eating alone. Visitors are quarantining and visiting through windows and closed doors and computer screens. Every single Thanksgiving feast is coming with an extra side of fear and uncertainty. We aren't supposed to join hands to pray. We aren't even supposed to sit at the same table with each other. Cities and whole states are threatening to arrest people for actually getting together, are encouraging neighbors to call the police if someone has a suspiciously large number of vehicles in their driveway. There's no real Black Friday shopping to look forward to. Football games are weird without the crowds, and even church is different. So given all that, given the rotten nature of this entire year, should we even have Thanksgiving? And I'm not just questioning the traditional family gathering. The experts have already declared that for Bolton. I mean, with everything that's going on, what is there to be thankful for this year? Why set aside a day of Thanksgiving when there really seems to be nothing to even give thanks for? You know, looking back over the year, looking around us at everything happening right now, what do we have to be thankful for? The news assures us that death is everywhere, that if you step outside your house without a mask on, you are literally killing your neighbors. Political tensions are ridiculously high, and the nation seems on the brink of civil war. Lifelong friends are turning against one another and refusing to talk because of a difference of opinion on politics, mask usage, and which news channel they should be watching. Members of our own congregation are saying that they hope we have a COVID outbreak because we aren't doing things the way that they would, and when it happens, they'll be there to say, I told you so. This pandemic, this whole year, it has completely disrupted everything. The economy, our jobs, day-to-day life, school, vacation, church, shopping, no part of our life is the same as it was last Thanksgiving. We are living in fear and terror, huddling in our homes, waiting for someone to tell us that it's safe. But we know that as soon as this pandemic passes, something else is just waiting to take its place, because that's the new normal, fear. So why bother with Thanksgiving this year? In fact, why bother with Thanksgiving ever again? There's nothing good about this year, nothing that God has blessed us with, nothing to be thankful for at all. Or at least so says our short-sighted, sinful nature. Crippled by fear, unable and unwilling to look beyond our own immediate wants, our sinful nature says that there is nothing to be thankful for. But that is absolutely not true. Even now, even in 2020, there are always things to be thankful for. You know, let's start with the pandemic. No, I am not saying that I'm glad it's happening. It's awful, and I really do wish it had never happened or that it was over with. But let's look at it objectively instead of in a knee-jerk kind of fear. Compared to other plagues throughout history, this one's kind of a cuddly little kitten, really. I mean, bubonic plague killed about a third of all Europe's population, 25 million people in 5 years, and the population density was far less. In 1918, the flu pandemic killed 20 to 50 million people worldwide in 2 years. So let's start by being thankful that this virus is not worse than it actually is. And let's be thankful for the wonderful means of communication that we have as we ride out the social distancing and quarantining. No, it's not the same as getting together face-to-face, but through phone calls and internet, Zoom and FaceTime, we can talk with people hundreds of miles away as if they were in the same room with us. Grandparents might not be able to hug their grandkids this Thanksgiving, but they can talk with them. They can hear their jokes. They can see the dances that they've learned over the year. And that's a blessing that we should be thankful for. And let's be thankful that that same technology kept our congregation united in God's Word even while we weren't meeting in person. I am so thankful that we were able to record and broadcast our services without interruption throughout the entire lockdown, and that we're still able to do it and reach out to people who are unable to make it here in person. In fact, we made a lot of improvements to our videos that we wouldn't have had the time or motivation to do otherwise. And when you look at our YouTube channel, this is not turning into a big commercial, but it's clear that people are watching, that we are reaching people with the Word. Our normal Easter morning, we usually have about 200 people here for our divine service. Our online Easter service from this spring has over 400 views so far. People from other states, from other countries, have let us know that they are hearing the Word through these videos, and for that, we give thanks to God. And even as we complain about not being able to get together or how different things are, let's be thankful that we have friends and family to complain with. You are not alone in this. You are not abandoned and forsaken. God has blessed you with friends and family, with brothers and sisters in Christ. And even though we aren't supposed to hug and shake hands like we normally would, you still have the love and support of so many people in your life. Give thanks for that. You see, in our text today, Paul writes the following: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, as if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Do not dwell on what's wrong, on what's not as good as you would like it to be, on the things that you don't have. Give thanks for all the blessings that you do have. Give thanks that God's hand of bountiful blessing continues to fill your cup to overflowing, even if you can't see it. You have a roof over your head. You have a gorgeous church with lots of really cool new improvements. You have the freedom and safety to gather in this church without fear of the authorities coming to kill you because of your faith. You have more possessions than most people in the world do. You have clean running water, easy access to food, goods, medicine. You have food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like, as Martin Luther puts in the meaning to the fourth petition. We have so many blessings, so many things in our lives to be thankful for. And do you know where all those things come from? Yes, you might have ordered them from Amazon, but every single blessing in your life comes from the gracious hand of your loving Heavenly Father. He gives you the skills to earn the income that you have. He provides the opportunities for you to thrive and to prosper. He and He alone gives you everything that you have, all the blessings and luxuries, all the goodness and joy, everything that you have in your life. Even the hardships, He uses those to strengthen you, to make you appreciate what you have. Every single thing in your life, every single blessing, whether you believe it or not, it comes from your Heavenly Father, the one true and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So be thankful, be grateful, give thanks to Him each and every day. And even if all of these things are taken away from you, even if you have nothing at all in this world that you can actually think of to be thankful for, still, you have been given a treasure worth far more than anything. You have the love of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. By your sin, you don't deserve that. By your rebellion and ingratitude, by your short-sightedness and selfishness, you don't deserve anything from God but eternal wrath and condemnation. Your sin makes you His enemy, and you deserve only destruction. But instead, He gives you blessing after blessing after blessing. He fills your life with riches and luxuries. But most importantly, He gives you the eternal blessing of salvation. He gives you His love and His forgiveness and His redemption. While you were dead in your sin, God looked upon you not in wrath, but in mercy. He saw that you could never save yourself from your sin, that you stood condemned to hell by His perfect and holy law. And so He chose to save you, chose to take all your guilt and punishment and torture away from you. Not by pretending it was okay, not by turning a blind eye to your sin, but rather by paying the penalty of your guilt in full Himself. He came to us in the flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, born under law to redeem those under the law and to restore us as His children. All your sin, all your rebellion, your transgression and guilt, all of it was laid upon Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. He took your place beneath His law, and He took your place upon the cross, sacrificing Himself so that you may live. That you may live a life of blessing in this world, and that you may live an eternal, sinless life in the next. And for that, we truly do give thanks each and every day. All our earthly blessings for which we should be thankful, they're but temporary. They are wonderful things. They are blessings from God, but they will not last forever. But the blood of Jesus Christ, His atoning sacrifice on your behalf, that is eternal. You have been given the guarantee of everlasting life in that sinless paradise of heaven. You have been made God's own child. You have been given the kingdom of God Himself through the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercies endure forever. Give thanks for all the blessings that He gives you, even if you can't recognize them all because of your sin. When the world gets you down, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. It's more than the power of positive thinking. It's the glorious eternal truth of your Heavenly Father. The God of peace will be with you no matter what, and is with you at all times, blessing you, filling your life with good things to be thankful for, forgiving you of all of your sin. Give thanks to Him, not just today, but every single day, no matter what 2020 tries to throw at us next, because He has blessed you bountifully. He has delivered your soul from sin, death, and the devil. And by His cross, by His empty tomb, you are forgiven of all of your sin, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.